Our first reading for today comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 29. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body, through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard, and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacked in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord.
Once again, and for the first time in over 75 years, we have war in Europe. Russia, as you probably know, has invaded Ukraine. Vladimir Putin has decided that he will take Ukraine or part of Ukraine for Russia by force, and of course without the consent of those living in Ukraine. Now for this last part, this is always the case, of course, with invasions. It was this way when Germany invaded Poland, and it was this way way back when Babylon invaded Judah. Thousands upon thousands of people will lose their lives. Thousands of soldiers from both the invading forces and defensive forces. Thousands of civilians who will take up arms to protect their homeland. And thousands of civilians who will just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. When we look back at the past wars, to me they are different to this one. Because for me the great European wars and world wars were all said and done long before I was born. The Cold War was even over by the time I was two, so I don't even remember the threat of that. They were etched in history books rather than a day-to-day reality which is experienced and lived through without the certainty of the outcome already known. Will this escalate beyond the war in Ukraine and spread further into Europe? I have no idea. Will China decide to use this time to invade Taiwan? I do not know. Is this how World War III begins? Many large wars have begun over less. For now, though, I can only imagine the horror of those living in Ukraine. Life as normal one day, existence of your country threatened the next. This is not an unfamiliar story for history. Powerful countries invading other lands to take possession of them. Now, I grew up in a stable world where national borders, well, they pretty much seem fixed. But it is the reality that the world changes, and with very real consequences for actions, and not always, of course, for the better. So what does living in this world today mean for us as Christians? What are we to make of it all? And where does Jesus fit into all this? Because I want to assure you from the outset, make no bones about it, Russia's invasion of Ukraine is not above Christ's authority, nor is it outside of it. And the same is true for every previous war and every war still to come. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday before Lent begins. It's a week to reflect on the full glory of Jesus as it was seen and revealed to Peter, James, and John when they went up on the mountain with him. That moment when Jesus met with Moses and Elijah, two of the most important biblical figures representing the law and the prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything in Scripture. In fact, Jesus is the culmination of all history. And all history is contained in the life of Jesus. Now, when you think about it, to say that all history is contained in the life of Jesus, that's a pretty big statement to make. And what does that even mean when I say that? Well, we're going to look at what Paul has to say about it because I got it from him. Our main Bible reading that we're going to be looking at is our Colossians reading. And in this passage, near the beginning of Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, Paul is reminding or explaining some of the key aspects about God's plans and Jesus' role in those plans. The first thing Paul says is that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now, we're all aware that we cannot see God. God's power is at work throughout creation, but we cannot see him nor that power. We can just see its effects as creation continues to exist in line with consistent principles. But Jesus has a special place in creation, for he uniquely reveals with complete fullness who God is. In Jesus we see the who of God. We see the character of God. We see the personality of God. And as we read on, we hear echoes of what John would pen at the beginning of his gospel sometime later on. It's nice to know that both Paul and John came to the same understanding of Jesus. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation, and by him all things were created. Over all, this includes heavenly things, earthly things, visible things, and invisible things. Notice how Paul carefully words this. He is the firstborn over all creation, and so forth. So Paul establishes that Jesus' primacy means that he is above all thrones, all powers, all rulers, and authorities. No doubt Paul has in mind both earthly and spiritual beings when he speaks of creation. It is all. Not only were things created by him, but they were also created for him. And Jesus, we are told, holds all things together. Now, I can understand this idea of Jesus holding all things together in two main ways. One, because Jesus was involved in creation and he plays an active role in maintaining creation as the Word of God. And two, that Jesus is the only thing in creation that makes it have sense. We cannot make sense of creation without Jesus. So in that way, all creation he holds together. Jesus also created the church. Jesus rose from the dead and so is the firstborn. Not only is he the first to rise from the dead, but his resurrection allows ours. And that should sound very similar to what we heard Paul say last week from 1 Corinthians 15. Through Jesus' death and his blood shed on the cross, God is reconciling to himself all things and has made peace with a sinful, fallen creation. Reconciliation is not only something God is doing with humanity, reconciliation is a whole creation affair. We are told that because of this role in salvation, Jesus has been given supremacy over all things. Paul then changes from looking at Jesus from the grand scheme to the personal, the impact that Jesus has at the personal level. People who are separated from God are enemies in their minds because the way we naturally think and the way we naturally act is from ourselves, which includes our sinful nature. And from our sinful thinking comes evil behaviors and evil words. The only remedy is connection with Jesus and to continue in our connection with Jesus, which is what Paul implores that the Colossians do, that they maintain their faith in the one whom they've come to believe. So Jesus used Paul and his willingness to suffer in order to spread the gospel to share the word of God fully. And what is this good news or gospel that Paul preached? And Paul sums it up in a very short phrase. You go through all the weeds of Paul giving extra and extra explanations. There is a very short phrase to sum it up. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to breathe in those words. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Paul says this was a mystery which God had kept a secret. He hadn't told anyone. He hadn't told a single prophet that his answer to all the problems we face, to overcoming our sinfulness, to being spiritually dead, was that the Messiah would come and live in the hearts of people. And in knowing the Messiah living in your heart would give you real hope. A hope which we could know not only in our heads, but something we would have in our hearts. A hope which would be a part of us. And that hope which is given to us is that of glory. We have the hope of glory. The glory of God becoming a part of us slowly over time. The glory of Christ's perfection becoming fully realized in us when he comes and establishes the heavenly kingdom. The glory we will receive by being affirmed by God as his children. Our hope is that of glory. the glory of God. So having established all this, let us now return to the war in Ukraine and meet these together. Clearly, Russia's invasion of Ukraine is against God's will. Yet, it has still occurred. So how is Jesus above all rulers and authorities, and yet world leaders can do things which are a gross violation of his will? Well, both the role of Jesus in the grand scheme and his personal connection with his followers are instrumental in understanding this question. Let's start with this. One day, Jesus is going to return and complete the work in reconciling all creation to himself. On that day, all earthly rulers will submit to him, and all authorities will be judged for the ways they lived and ruled. No one will escape. There is no man or woman who is great enough to be above judgment. If Vladimir Putin doesn't repent, he will be judged for this invasion. Just like Hitler will be, like all other world leaders who have led invasions. But of course, this judgment awaits all people, not just those who wield political power. Right now in history, we are in a time of grace, where God is giving all people, he's inviting all people, and giving them all the opportunity to repent and turn to Christ, to turn to Jesus, his Son, to find in him repentance and forgiveness. However, because God is giving people this opportunity, and it is not an opportunity they must take up, people are free to accept or reject this offer. People, including those who lead nations, can choose to continue to have a mind controlled by their sinful nature and continue to be enemies of God, which will result in them doing evil. Or, like all of us, we can turn to God, we can turn to Christ, and change our ways, and to be transformed into Jesus' likeness, to do things his way. This is why wars are still a part of this world. World leaders still have the free will to engage in military acts and invasions. They are permitted to do this for the time being. However, that being said, laying that to one side, that doesn't mean God isn't active in the midst of the conflict. God will act on behalf of individuals to save them, to protect them, and he will work in subtle and mysterious ways to bring about certain decisions and certain events to steer outcomes. God has said much in the scriptures about supporting those who are righteous and opposing those who are proud and do evil. God has said he will not allow evil nor those who do evil to be victorious. Having said that, I still don't know what that looks like in the pages of the history books, as we are living out these ones in our time. Will Russia take control of Ukraine? Maybe. In fact, it's quite likely. But even if that's the case, that isn't the end of God at work in Ukraine. For God is not limited to his mysterious ways, because God has people who have Christ living in their hearts, who will continue to work to see God's will done. These are people who have Christ in their heart and have the hope of glory. They will work for peace on the geopolitical scale and deliver aid at the personal level. Through courage and the kindness of his people, God is present no matter what happens. Through the wisdom of his people, God is present. Through the righteousness of his people, God is present, and he is at work. And the people of God can't be stopped from doing good, because their hope is not in this world, but in the world to come. Their hope is in the glory which Jesus has promised. And so the thing about this hope we have in Christ is that it isn't an external hope, but a hope which lives inside of us. It's a hope which comes from Jesus living in our hearts, strengthening us, helping us, supporting us. What this means is that even when people choose to do evil, God is still present. For He is present in the hearts of His people as they live through the crisis and as they live in the midst of the crises and in their actions of righteousness, love, and courage. So although God has allowed the invasion, He is not idle in the midst of it. However, evil will be done and great suffering will be caused. And this is why God is going to do away with this world and renew it. Our role in such a time is to pray and to commit ourselves anew to serving God. And in regards to this time of grace for people to repent, if Putin was to have a real conversion experience, this war could end tomorrow. So we should be praying for him and his government and his advisors. We also pray for God to strengthen his people, to bring the presence of God into the lives of their neighbors in Ukraine and the rest of the world too, of course. We also pray for peace and the end of the conflict. We pray for the end of senseless violence. We pray for the Russian people to protest their government's actions. We pray that the gospel is preached and that many will turn to Christ, be saved, and to know the hope of glory which Jesus brings. We pray that God will keep the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky. I will continue to pray that God will keep the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, safe and keep him from the hands of the Russian army as he has chosen to stay with his people, to fight and inspire them rather than escape to another country which he was offered. And I will pray that Ukraine will inexplicably be able to defeat Russia. And I will pray against those who try to force themselves upon and rule over other people to oppress them through their regimes of power. But I'm just not naive enough to think that my prayers mean that nothing bad will happen. Because evil is still in this world and at work in the hearts and minds of men and women. But make no mistake about it. Jesus is Lord of all. He does have the supremacy. Jesus is above all. The glorious splendor of Jesus, which we remember on Transfiguration Sunday, and the hope Jesus brings is not snuffed out by the evils of war. Because the power of war is death and destruction. But Jesus offers eternal life and healing forevermore. Even now, Jesus is present in the midst of the conflict through the hope his people have in their hearts and the good they will do in his name. And one day Jesus will come in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. Amen.